Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is the Seahawks versus Kansas City Chiefs preview episode. The game will take place on Sunday Night Football in Seattle. It's one of the biggest matchups of the year. We're gonna take
Grant,
you through.
Wait, hold on. Can I just weigh in on the Sunday Night Football controversy?
All right, go ahead.
All right, so everyone's aware that Carrie Underwood has redone the Sunday Night Football song for this year. It was criticized this week on social media. It led to a whole kerfluffle, whole situation. But I'm on the team of the old one was better. We got to go back to Carrie Underwood seducing Sunday night every week by going, "Ooh, Sunday night." We need that Carrie Underwood back. Get rid of the new jazzy Carrie Underwood. New jazzy Carrie Underwood is a lie. That's all I got.
I just didn't expect such a strong take out of the gate. I'm kind of reeling right now.
Yeah. Well, get ready, because this is not locked around Seahawks. This is locked on Seahawks, okay? So you can introduce us now, but I needed a hot take to get us started, to get us ready for what is a very difficult matchup against the Chiefs.
No, yeah, we haven't had a show in a couple days, so you were just sitting on that one. But we'll do a quick intro before we begin. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. Spike is a writer with The Stranger, Sunday Night Football theme opinion haver. But we're gonna talk mostly about this game that's gonna happen on Sunday night. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about other things concerning the theme song or other situations surrounding the NFL, but primarily the focus will be on the game this Sunday. And we went through the ways that the Seahawks could beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and primarily the focus is on the offense and keeping pace with the Chiefs. And the Seahawks are going to be without their number two running back again, Rashad Penny. Well, it's likely that they're going to be without. Sorry, he's been a DNP for the past 2 days in practice, and it's going to be another Mike Davis, Chris Carson, J.D. McKissick led attack out of Seahawks backfield. Brian Schottenheimer said he was looking to get McKissick more involved. And Spike, I'm wondering, you know, what can we see from McKissick that would really propel the Seahawks to be able to keep up with the Chiefs?
Well, I think that it comes down to the short passing game. I'll say this. This is a weird week to try to go to J.D. McKissick, mostly because, as we've talked about already, the Chiefs' run defense is hot garb. It is 32nd in the league in DVOA and like a distant 32nd, sort of like the Saints used to be. I mean, like, it is a really, really bad run defense. And obviously what J.D. McKissick gives you is passes catching out of the backfield, which, look, I would love to see more targets for running backs. It was really effective last week getting Mike Davis involved in the passing game. The screen game is an integral part of the modern NFL. We've seen it everywhere. The best offenses have great pass-catching running backs. We've seen it with Kamara. We've seen it with Melvin Gordon. We've seen it with Todd Gurley. We saw it with Hunt in the past in Kansas City. Now they have a huge question mark as to who that guy is for them now. McKissick can be that guy for us. Chris Carson does a lot of things well, catching the ball. He's not bad at it, but he's not a receiver coming out of the backfield. J.D. McKissick is. But again, this is the Chiefs. The Chiefs' pass defense is fine. Eric Berry is healthy-ish, so their safety linebacker group is okay. Like, they're going to be effective enough covering the field laterally that you don't think the screen game, that, like, this is a weird week to suddenly go to the screen game that the Seahawks have neglected for like 4 years now. But hey, I'd love to see more of it. But the real thing is, like, I want like a heavy dose of Chris Carson this week. I want like 90 Chris Carson runs. I want run on every down. And I want us to go for it, even if it's like 4th and 8, and just hand the ball to Chris Carson. Because in theory, based on how this matchup looks on paper, and again, we'll see what happens at the guard position and all of that. But like, man, Chris Carson should dominate this matchup. Like, there's nothing about this matchup that suggests Chris Carson will not run for 300 yards.
Well, I thought you were going to say that in all likelihood, if the Seahawks were to go for it on 4th and 8, it'd probably be a handoff. And
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean,
Get Carson involved, baby.
it's a given. Get him involved on every down. You talk about a 3-down running back. What about a 4-down running back? So, yeah, all in on the Chris Carson Express. Another guy that Ryan Schottenheimer was talking about getting involved was David Moore, who's had a kind of rough couple of weeks. But when the Seahawks need a big play, that's one of the guys that they can go to. Kendall Fuller for the Chiefs, their cornerback, who has been described as doo doo by Keenan Allen, who is not really doo doo, is a DNP for the past couple of days. It probably is going to be a game time decision with a thumb injury. If they are down their number one corner, I think not only for Moore, but for the whole Seahawks receiving core, it opens the possibility for actually a little bit more big plays down the field. They get Eric Berry back in likelihood, but it's still, the door is open for the Seahawks to exploit the Chiefs in the passing game. They're not world beaters when it comes to passing defense. So, if the Seahawks see a matchup they like, I'm sure they'll be able to do something with it.
Yeah, especially if the run game is going early, you've got tight boxes, you get to play action. Like everything about this sets up, like this matchup has, with the exception of the DJ Fluker injury, looked really good for the Seahawks offense for weeks now. Like looking ahead to this game, as we've kind of done, there's a lot to like here, for Russ, for Carson. Just this Chiefs defense is not great. They're not as bad as maybe they looked coming into the season. And I think, honestly, Kendall Fuller gets some of the credit for that. But like, and honest, and their interior pass rush is really solid. So you've got to make sure that you don't want like long developing deep shots. You want deep shots like where you see cover zero and you hit it, or something along those lines. You want to be exploiting what the Chiefs are doing rather than trying to develop some of those late breaking routes that we've seen Tyler Lockett run this year to great effect. With the quality of the Chiefs pass rush, that is a dangerous game to play, as opposed to like just winning with a quick passing game, as opposed to just running by them. So also, again, like running by them, if we can limit Pat Mahomes' number of possessions to under 10, that'd be great. That'd be a lot better than if he has like 90 possessions. 90 possessions would be too many. Probably 14 is the actual fear, but hey.
Hey, you want to keep the ball out of one of the NFL's best players' hands as much as you can. I'm fully on board for that.
Thanks. Thanks, Grant.
I know, so sometimes you need a vote of confidence. But I talked about David Moore, but I think if the Seahawks get back that version of Doug Baldwin we saw in San Francisco, Tyler Lockett as well, that quick passing game is going to be potent. In the middle of the field, that's where Doug was eating. Tyler Lockett has the ability to either go deep or take these short passes and get what little yards after the catch the Seahawks have been able to get this year. And so I think not only with more downfield, but just this trio of Seahawks receivers, I think will find their opportunities against this Chiefs defense. But yeah, I think first and foremost, this game has to be played through the run, and it's gonna be on Chris Carson's shoulders, Mike Davis's shoulders, and McKissick a little bit in the run game, but and Russell Wilson too. He's got to keep some of the read options, keep that threat of him running, keep the defense honest. It starts with the run game, as we've said throughout this whole show, throughout this week, throughout this year, and I think that if it's not broke, don't fix it, and especially don't try to fix it against the Chiefs defense, who has been catastrophically bad against the run.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right,
Totally agree.
and I think that's a great place to put a hold on the offensive talk. We're gonna come back, talk about this defense after the break. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. This Sunday, the Seahawks have a huge showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs. This single game will go a long way in clearing up the playoff picture, and it can go a long way for you to win huge cash prizes. Single game fantasy football is the newest way to play at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. If you've been thinking about trying DraftKings, now's the time. DraftKings has taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it easier for you to draft your lineup. All you have to do is draft six players from the Chiefs-Seahawks game, one captain, and five other players. Your captain will earn 1.5 times the po amount of points. Go for value with Mike Davis or go for star player with Russell Wilson. It's that simple. Six players from one game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to enter single game fantasy football contest for free this week with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. That's promo code LOCKEDON only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. And we are back with the second portion of today's show of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike. And before we entered the break, I teased you guys. I told you we were talking about the defense. And I'm going to put the microscope on the safety position for the Seahawks, or the lack thereof, because Bradley McDougal hasn't practiced all week. Tedrick Thompson hasn't practiced all week. Spike, who are the Seahawks looking at in terms of safety play going into this game against the Chiefs?
Well, hopefully McDougald and/or Thompson play. That would be better than the situation where neither of them plays, because we're looking at Delano Hill, we're looking at Shalom Luani. Mo Alexander missed a couple practices, but he is in the mix. It doesn't matter. Those guys are not great. Luani is obviously a hard hitter, sort of a strong safety, great blitzer, really good tackler, not a great coverage guy. And against the Chiefs, against Travis Kelce, that's a nightmare. So hopefully he's not starting. Hill's been okay, I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen him do anything that exciting. I'm not a fan of his. I don't know why. If I'm being totally honest, I haven't done enough film breakdown on the limited snaps, because now we have a little bit more sample size with Hill. So my initial reaction to watching his preseason tape, which is bad, I don't know if that still holds, but I'm still very nervous again against this like world-class Chiefs offense. And the other thing we know is that Andy Reid, after a bye, is the greatest coach in NFL history. He's like 16-3. Chiefs played on Thursday night last week. That's not quite a bye, but it is an extra couple days for him to prepare. He's going to throw stuff at us that looks weird. And if you don't have experienced safeties, and frankly, safeties that are just used to playing next to one another, the possibility for miscommunication is there. And it's very scary to think about. So going into this game with either Thompson or McDougald out would be a huge problem, because those are the guys who are used to being on the field next to one another. And you just can't compensate for that against an offense as explosive and well coached as the Kansas City offense.
Yeah, and I said during the crossover episode with Locked On Chiefs that if the Seahawks are gonna play a part in stopping this Kansas City offense, it's gonna start with Wagner, it's gonna start with Reed, and they're gonna have to generate pressure somehow. It's gonna be a really tough task given their performance over the season, and it's a lot to ask of them to kind of just turn it on, and all willy-nilly against the Chiefs. But Frank Clark has to get it together. Deion Jordan has to put together a good game, at least get some hurries. Jacob Martin's got to get some good snaps and whenever he's on the field. But yeah, I just think it just starts with Bobby Wagner, from guarding Travis Kelce to having some blitzes, playing a big part in the run game as always. I mean, if you look at every matchup every week for the Seahawks, it's gonna be Bobby Wagner that the defense revolves around. It's gonna be Bobby Wagner spearheading this effort to stop whatever offense is in front of them. It's just, a way bigger beast in the Kansas City offense coming to Seattle.
I mean, again, I'm like, I don't know what you do against some of these threats that they have. Tyreek Hill is faster. I mean, the Griffins are really fast. Shaq Griffin is really fast, so that's good. He's not Tyreek Hill fast, but he's fast enough to maybe be able to keep up with him. If he gets ISO'd on Trey Flowers, though, Flowers is a lot of things that are very good. Really solid tackler, really good going for the ball in the air, really good at avoiding ugly penalties, but just 0 to 40, 0 to 40 yard dash speed, not there. at the same way that, like, again, Tyreek Hill was a national champion sprinter. It's a problem. And so you hope that, I don't know, Flowers ends up drawing Kelvin Benjamin, who's playing the Sammy Watkins role in their offense, and can really shut that down, take away some options from Mahomes, make Mahomes get deeper and deeper into his progressions. Now, mind you, he's very good at doing that, but he does turn the ball over occasionally, and so it does open up the possibility that the Seahawks win the turnover battle in this game. That would be crucial. I don't know if the Seahawks can win this game without winning the turnover battle. Fortunately, based on how the two quarterbacks are playing to this point in the year, it's certainly likely, honestly, that they do win that turnover battle. It might not be enough given how explosive Kansas City's offense is, but we're going to need that to happen in order to really have a good chance of winning this game.
Yeah, and again, like I said in the crossover episode, if the Seahawks, the Seahawks can win the turnover battle. We saw the Chargers win the turnover battle against the Chiefs. They won the game. The Ravens had a 2-2. The turnover ratio was even between the Ravens and Chiefs, and that game went to overtime. The Ravens could have won that game. I think, that's why I go back to the pressure, because we see Mahomes. He already makes some really risky throws that pays off big time when they hit. And I'm not going to say he's lucky. No, he's good at those kind of throws. But when there's pressure in his face, he makes the same throws, but they're not as great decisions, and that presents opportunities for takeaways. And I think the Seahawks, if they can do that, the secondary's been opportunistic enough that they can generate those chances, and they can capitalize on them. And it's going to be on the offense on the other side to score points off of those turnovers. And the Seahawks can't afford to, go out there, score on the first drive like they have, and just completely kind of fizzle out during the rest of the game. So they gotta be opportunistic on both sides of the ball, to me.
Yeah, and I think if I'm thinking about, again, I'm sort of back to the Seahawks offense. Like, I don't have the answers for how you defend this Chiefs team. I mean, you gotta pressure Mahomes. But the Chiefs' offensive line is pretty solid, and the Seahawks' defensive line is not that great. So that's going to be a tough ask. So I think you're going to be dialing up some blitzes, figuring out ways to create pressure, hopefully getting that home, because I don't even know what happens if you don't. It's not good. But looking at, the Seahawks side of the ball, getting in to second and manageable and then running right through that. You know what I mean? Getting first downs from second and five by just having Chris Carson maul dudes. Like, that's the version of this game I want to see. I want to see, like, maybe we can get some shots, but just, like, get us from second and whatever to first and whatever. Let's stay out of third down, and let's just road grade with Chris Carson. I want 95. I want 140 Chris Carson carries in this game. I mean, what is it? Schottenheimer talks about, 53 completions and runs. I want 153 Chris Carson runs in this game.
And then
is that too much to ask for?
We're bound to hit that number of completions if we have the runs. But
only need to not have 100 negative 100. What would that be? Sacks and interceptions? No way that happens. No way they get 100 sacks and interceptions. That's crazy, guys. That's crazy. Be serious.
Either it's the safest bet of all time, or we just put on the biggest jinx of all time. What's going to play out.
I think we're okay, man.
But I think they're going to be presented with a lot less, third and six opportunities than in games past. The Seahawks love to play for third and six. But Chris Carson, I mean, on first and second down, he's going to have opportunities to, get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards on any given carry. So I'm not really worried about them putting themselves in that situation. But conservative play calling, I think, is going to bite them in the rear end if they are in a close game. But I think that can do it for this portion of the show. We'll come back with final predictions for this game. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Guys, are you cold? You're probably cold. It's December in Seattle. It's wet. It's cold. You get damp. So what are you going to do? You're going to wear Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. The world's best. Okay, you get heat on demand, the touch of a button. You can control your environment with action heat. Become a hot god. Use action heat clothes. Now, you're probably worried. What is this safe? Yes. It is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels. It's like having a heated car seat stapled to your body at all times. You're talking about temperatures of 135 degrees. You're talking about rechargeable batteries that last up to 12 hours and can also recharge your phone if you need it. Wow. And you're thinking, well, what am I going to do? Who am I going to get this for? Everybody? Yes, everybody. It's gift time. Christmas gifts. You got to do it today. You got to get it for your uncle, your outdoorsy uncle, your outdoorsy cousins, your skiing daughter, your snowboarding buddy, your anybody who doesn't like being cold, which is everybody. Okay, we're talking heated jacket. Okay, that's for someone you really love, because I'm sure that's, you know, that's not cheap. But you're talking heated socks? You get that for everybody. Heated gloves? Everybody needs heated gloves. Hats? Base layers? Do that for someone you love, too, because that's intimate. Undergarments, long johns. We're talking warm and coziness, head to toe with action heat. We're talking men's and women's sizes. We're talking new styles, new models just for this winter season. Even if they've already got some action heat, you can update their styles. And hey, look, we know it's going to only get colder. You got someone who lives back east, it's going to be cold till April. Buy them action heat. We're talking about starting at $39.99. Wow. And, oh man, get ready for this. Okay, actionheat.com/lockedon, 20% off your order. 20% off. If you're spending $39, oh, now you're spending $32. Oh my God, what is that? Spending $100, now you're spending $80. You have 20 extra dollars to buy yourself some action heat. Do it. Live that action heat life. Stay toasty. Stay warm. Stay outdoors. Stay good. Action heat.
And we are back with the final portion of today's show of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. We are finishing this thing out with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And you know, as we mentioned before, we're going to have our final predictions for this Seahawks versus Kansas City Chiefs game. It's a tough spot. I think I picked it on the crossover episode to be 34-31. And I put it in favor of the Chiefs. And with how the practices have shaken out, the injury report has come out. I'm gonna stay with my prediction. I'm gonna give the Chiefs the win. 34-31 is what I'm locking in. Hopefully I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but you know, that's what my brain's telling me.
Yeah, the Chiefs have back-to-back games scoring under 30 points, but those are against the Ravens and Chargers, who I think are better defenses right now than Seattle's. But, oh, man. So there's like so many factors. A primetime home game obviously favors Seattle. Russ is going to be dialed in. Pete is going to have the team ready to play. We obviously play great in these primetime home games, so that's an advantage. Andy Reid with extra time, though, that's an advantage for the Chiefs, absolutely, compared to the Seattle coming off of a bye. Historically, nowhere near as good as what Andy Reid does. You look at the injury report, definitely favors the Chiefs, but you look at the individual matchups of this game, and as much as Mahomes against our safeties is terrifying, our running game against their excuse for a rush defense is the opposite of terrifying. It's invigorating. So, oh man, this is a really difficult game to predict. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be fun. I think, man, if DJ Fluker were healthy, I said this on the crossover episode, I would confidently pick Seahawks. I'm still going to pick Seahawks, 29-28.
There you have it. The Seahawks are going to win.
Michael Dixon dropkick extra point to win it as time expires.
Now, is that just an outright choice by Pete Carroll, or does something happen to Seabass to where Michael Dixon has to come in relief and kick an extra point?
Seabass fakes an injury to give Michael Dixon the opportunity to be the hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. So, ultimate team player. Yeah. Really trying to make up for what he did on Sunday against the 49ers. So
exactly.
Total redemption story. I'm all in. Let's see it on Sunday. So I think that will do it for today's show. We want to thank you guys for listening always. We want to thank you guys for going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a review, a 5-star review, 4-star review, 2-star review, even though 2 stars are a poor excuse for a review. So be a grown-up, leave an actual good review. I think we only have one new one, and so I will read it. It's from CJK04, and it says Deontay Thompson with 5 stars, and says, I believe the Seahawks should draft another free safety out of Orange, Texas, like Earl Thomas. I believe the Seahawks should draft him to replace Earl, talking about Deontay Thompson. He's rangy, aggressive, and good instinct. So that's a name that we can look out for, we can look at, and see if he can be helpful for this team. So thank you.
There's a Deontay Thompson who plays wide receiver for the Bills. I was confused by this. This is Deontay Thompson, the safety who's at Alabama but is from Orange, Texas. There are two Deontay Thompsons, kind of like there are two Trey Flowers. Just get this right. But yeah, no, I mean, Deontay Thompson is considered the best college safety since Sean Taylor. So would love it. Would love him to come in, start hitting dudes on behalf of Pete Carroll.
Yep.
That's a great call. Let's get him.
All right, there you go. So Seahawks, I know you're listening. John Schneider, Pete Carroll, go get Deontay Thompson. We will thank you for it. Go get another pass rusher too. But I think go ahead.
I said get them both.
Get them both. Hey, why not? Come on. But follow us both on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. The show's Twitter is at Locked Seahawks. Again, we will answer your questions if you leave it in an Apple Podcast review. So do that. And yeah, so for the Locked on Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman also signing off.